Somebody shout the blessing. Come on, shout the blessing. We're going to be on this the next couple of weeks, and I really want to be able to minister the word of God to you because, listen, the blessing ain't about stuff. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said the blessing ain't about stuff. It ain't about money. But the blessing is about an empowerment in order to prosper. In other words, it's God's ability in your life making things happen to make sure you never go without. It is the ability of God happening in your life, functioning in your life. In other words, it's the ability of God on your mind to be able to think a certain way. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you have a certain way that you think about yourself and think about how you do things and think about how you're going to do things in the future and think about your children and your grandchildren and your family and how you do things as a whole, if there's a certain way that you think about that, listen, however you think about that is what you're currently experiencing. I said, however you think about those things is what you are currently, I didn't say what did you want. The Bible says, as you think, that's what you'll have. Because whatever I think is what I believe. And whatever I believe is what I say. Somebody say it again. Say the blessing. The blessing. Let's get into this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you are, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will continue to do in us, through us, in our lives, in this ministry. Father, we thank you for the vision that has been set for this house. Thank you for the vision that you have given us, Lord God, individually and collectively as a ministry. Father, we thank you that everything that you're doing in this season and in our lives, we say yes and amen to. Father, we thank you that whatever you need to do in our life, any mind change that needs to happen, we declare, do it in the name of Jesus. Anything that needs to be moved out of our life, anyone that needs to be moved out of our lives, we declare, do it in the name of Jesus. God, we don't understand how you do everything that you do, but we know you do all things well. And we know, Lord God, that as long as our life is in your hands, we shall see the goodness of the Lord in our life. Our families will see the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Whatever we set our hands to will be the goodness of the Lord in our lives. So Father, we yield to your spirit this morning. We yield to your word this morning. And we declare it is done in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so we're talking about the blessing, amen? And remember, the blessing is not stuff. It's not things. The blessing is an empowerment from God that he gives you in order to do a thing or in order to obtain a particular thing. Now, let's go to the first scripture, which is in Genesis chapter number 1. And we're going to read verse number 26 through verse 28. If you want to know anything about what God thinks about anything, it's all in Genesis. If you want to know anything that God thinks about anything, you will find everything in the book of Genesis. And everything else in the word of God will always bring you back to what's in Genesis. Genesis tells you the foundation of what God wants, the foundation of what God thinks, the foundation of how God wants to move in our lives. So here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, it tells us how God made us, how God created us, and what God wanted us to do. And in understand the purpose of a thing, you must understand that whatever you have become does not reveal what God's purpose is. Back that up, Tim. Okay. Whatever you have become does not reveal what God's purpose really is. So whenever we see God's purpose, we want to make sure our life matches that instead of what we may be currently dealing with. Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and God said, everybody say, God said, God said, God said, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let who?
Them.
Come on, and let who?
Them.
Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, so God created who?
Man
in his own image, in the image of God created he him, and in him, male and female, created he them. So inside of man is man, male and female. Say amen to that. All right, verse number 28. How did God create us? And God did what? Come on, church. And God did what? Blessed them. And God said unto them, what did he say? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion. So again, we see that we have been called to be blessed, which is an empowerment to prosper. Because remember, once you get empowered to prosper, you should be doing something. What did he empower us to do? He empowered us to be fruitful. He empowered us to multiply. He empowered us to replenish the earth and subdue it and to have dominion. What did he create us to do? All of that stuff over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth, which means that God created us to have dominion and to be blessed or empowered over things, not over people. Say amen to this. So if there is something trying to have dominion over me, I got kickback in me. Did you hear what I said? I said, if something's trying to have dominion over me, something or somebody, there's an automatic kickback already built in me because nothing was made to dominate or rule over or have dominion over me. I was supposed to be ruling and having dominion over everything, but I can never let that dominion make me think I got dominion over anybody. Nor will I allow anybody or anything to have dominion. Come on, push somebody real quick. Say, I'm getting this. Go ahead, tell them, I'm getting this. I'm getting this. So now if the blessing is on me, everybody say the blessing is on me. Come on, say it with some faith. Say the blessing is on me. Now if the blessing is on me, remember, it's on me to do something. It's on me to be something. And once we find out what this blessing is, we ought to leave this place from now on doing that and being that. Turn to somebody and say, get a good look at me. Go ahead, tell them, say, get a good look at me. Come on, tell them like you and say, get a good look at me. Say, I ain't going to never be like this again. Shout, I'm going with God. And God says, I'm blessed. Again, it's an empowerment to do something or to be something. Let's go to the next scripture. Watch this, y'all. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 17. The Bible says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. In other words, it's talking about the blessing. So when the blessing is on you, you look good. I said, when the blessing is on you, you look good. Not just spiritually, but you also look good physically. And I ain't talking about what you wear and everything else. It's just something about you that lets people know something's going on in my life. Because sometimes you ain't got nothing, but you still look good. You understand? You trying to believe God for gas in your car, food in your house, but every time you go out, you don't look like what you're going through. Because the blessing allows you to know something, and when you know something, have you ever been in a situation, come on, lovebirds, you've been in love and everything else, you just got done going through Valentine's Day, and when there's an expectation of somebody that you love being around you or being in your life, it just does something to your countenance. Look. All y'all like, I don't know what he talking about. Listen. Yeah, somebody gonna get in trouble. Yeah, all the fellas just look and smile because your woman looking at you right now. Listen, but when there's an expectation, that's Paul says in the book of Philippians. He says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to do without, and I know how to do when I got plenty. I know how to do when all I got in my cabinet is ramen noodles, and I know what to do when I can go to Ruth Chris and order anything that I want. I've learned to be content in whatever state that I'm in, so that way, no matter whatever state that I'm in, the devil ain't able to use my attitude and what I'm going through and my countenance to walk against me. The blessing is on me, therefore I'm beautiful at all times. Come on, turn to somebody and say, I'm beautiful right now. Go ahead, tell them I'm beautiful right now. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Which means from this day forward, don't you ever go nowhere. What'd I say? I said, don't you ever go nowhere with an attitude in your heart and your face all messed up because of what you don't got. Because the blessing is on you, and the blessing always makes you look good. And if the blessing always makes you look good, watch this, y'all. Favor will take the place of money until money shows up. What I say? I said favor will take the place of whatever you don't have, which means that if I don't have it myself, God is obligated to speak to somebody somewhere to make sure I got whatever I need. Come on, put somebody, say, he's a supplier. Go ahead, tell him he's a supplier. He's a supplier. Now let's look at the rest of that scripture. Back at Psalms chapter 90. It says, and he will establish the work of our hands upon us. Not only is the blessing on me and make me look good, but the Bible says whatever you put your hands on will be blessed as well, will prosper as well. That means whether I got a job, whether I got a business, whatever I'm doing, whatever I put my hands on. I need y'all to understand this. This blessing ain't just something that's spiritual. This blessing manifests in your life. He says he will establish the work of your hand. Somebody look at your hand. Put your hands up. Come on. Put your hands up. Say, these hands are blessed. These hands prosper. Come on, look at them. Look at your hands. These hands. If you got a contract to type up or look at whenever you put your hands on that keyboard. If you got another contract that you got to go sign and you got to put the paper in your hand, somebody say, these hands. If you got to go get a loan from the bank or whatever, somebody say, these hands. If you got to put in for something, somebody shout, these hands. Whatever your hands touch, the Bible says, God will establish the work of your hands. Do you believe your hands are anointed? I said, do you believe your hands are anointed? If you believe it, then put your hand on somebody next to you and say, receive the blessing in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all didn't believe that. I said, put your hands on somebody and say, receive the blessing in the name of Jesus. We can't just say this stuff in church. We got to believe this. This stuff got to work when we go home. We ain't just trying to have a good time in church. This thing works if you work it. That means you got to be bold enough to go to your house and start putting your hands on stuff and say, I release the blessing in the name of Jesus. You will feel funny at first, but that's going to leave once you start getting results. You're going to find yourself laying hands on everything. What else can I put my hands on? Because the blessing is a real thing. And the blessing has always been respected, but we are living in a generation that no longer respects the blessing. But watch this. The respect and the honor of the blessing will return when those who are blessed start operating in it again. You're already blessed. You've just been letting it lie dormant. Because the Bible says once God has blessed something, he cannot reverse. So you were blessed of the Lord when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. And that blessing has been resting on you since then. Now watch this. Let's go to the next scripture. I got a few more things I want to show you before we get into the meat of what we're talking about. Mark chapter 4, verse number 14 through verse number 20. The Bible says the what?
The sower.
Come on, church. The Bible says the what?
Sower.
The sower does what?
Soweth the word.
Soweth the word. In other words, any sower must have something in their hand to sow. Now, the Bible is saying whoever this sower is sowing the word. In scripture, the word is known as the seed of God. So now, if the sower is sowing the word, here it's talking about the sower sowing the seed of the word of God. Now, if the sower is sowing the seed of the word of God, listen to this. The word has enough power within itself to bring itself to pass. But the word must be believed on by us in order for it to be activated. But once it's activated, it carries power within itself to bring itself to pass. I just got to sow it. But watch this. Not only am I sowing the word got to come through some blessed hands before it's sowed. Did you hear what I just said? Because we're about to see that what is determined by what is sold, we're getting ready to see is based on the ground. But what I want to show you in just a little bit is that no matter what ground it is, if your hands is blessed and your seed is blessed, it can change the ground it's sold in. Some of us have not been wanting to sow different things that the Lord tells us. I ain't just talking about money. I'm talking about everything. You've not been wanting to sow because of the ground that you're looking at. Well, I don't want to sow love because the person that I think I should sow love to, you know, they be doing all kind of crazy stuff. I don't care about the ground. My hand and my seed, when I sow it, can change the ground because I'm sowing in it. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes we've been taught so much and so long, because I was too, that make sure you are careful about where you sow, because if you sow in the wrong place, it ain't nothing going to come back. But the blessing, not only does it make your hands blessed, but it makes the seed that you're sowing blessed. And then when you sow the seed, I don't care if the ground is horrible, it will change the ground that it's sowed in because of the blessing it came from. Come on, put somebody, say, I'm ready to slap a bear right now. Go ahead, tell them, I'm about ready to slap a bear right now. Come on. Verse number 15, come on. And these are they by the wayside. Everybody say the wayside. In other words, once the sower sowed the word in ground that was by the wayside, this is what happens. It says where the word is what? Sown. But when they have heard, what happens? Satan comes when? Immediately. And he does what? Take away the word that was. And in other words, the wayside is... You don't understand yet who you are. So when the word is sown in you, you don't believe it. Therefore, Satan is able to come and steal or take what was in you from making it come to pass. So then we don't want to ever be at the... But listen, I'm getting ready to tell you some revelation. I'm going to give you a secret, a mystery of the kingdom today, that it don't matter what kind of ground it is. Satan will no longer steal what belongs in your life. I said Satan will no longer steal what belongs in your life. Verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on what?
Stony ground.
Who, when they have what? Heard the word. Immediately they do what? Receive it with gladness. Verse 17. And have no what?
Root.
No root, no foundation in themselves. And so they endure before a little time, but afterwards, whenever trouble comes, affliction comes, persecution comes, arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, which means that the word is stolen out of them as well. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among what?
Thorns,
such as what? Hear the word, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of what? Of riches. In other words, if we ain't careful, this money can get us off too. the deceitfulness that come along with money. Because watch this, if you start getting money, if you're not careful, you'll start compromising to get it and to keep it. In other words, you're doing stuff you know you ain't got no business, but you say, well, at least I'm getting the bag, though. At least I'm getting the... No. We don't get the bag by any means necessary. The bag comes to us by any means necessary. And the lust of other things enter in, and they do what? They choke the word. And what happens? It becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, and these are they which are sown on what kind of ground? Good ground. Such as what? Hear the word and bring forth fruit. How will they bring forth fruit? Some 30, some 60, and some. Now watch this. He's saying here that we have to get to the place where we understand that this blessing that's working in us, there is a seed and there is a sower. The seed itself is the word of God. The sower, listen to me, y'all, the sower is the Holy Ghost. The sower ain't the preacher. The sower is the Holy Ghost. When the preacher preaches, the Holy Ghost goes into operation and begins to sow things in your life. And depending on the condition of your heart and where your mind is about the word of God determines if it leaves you before you walk out that door. Where we have a good time in here, but we're getting our butt kicked out there. I ain't going to keep getting my butt kicked once I leave church. I ain't going to have a good time and shout and jump and be all happy and declaring the word of God and everything else in front of all of y'all and then go out there and can't get nothing, can't do nothing. The devil is? Yes, he is. The devil is a liar. All right. Y'all crazy over here, and I am. Y'all crazy. Let's look at the next one. Watch this. Genesis chapter 26. And there was a
famine.
Come on, church. And there was a
famine.
Now, what does a famine mean? Famine means ain't nothing growing. Ain't nothing happening. Everything is dead. It's famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of who? Abraham and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And in other words, now watch this, y'all. Now, Abraham is the father of us all, the Bible says. He's the father of faith. So they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The Bible says God imputed or God made Abraham righteous because Abraham believed God. Abraham was a sinner, but yet God declared him righteous because he believed what God told him. Which means when we become believers, our job is to believe. Now, how are you a believer and you don't believe nothing? You are an unbelieving believer, which if we get revelation, that's who the Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked with. We think it's talking about sinners. No. He's saying if you're in the kingdom and you're hooked up with people who are supposed to be believers but don't believe, don't get yoked up with them. I need to be around believers. I don't care how crazy what God told us. I just need to know you believe God. The doctor says I'm going to die, but me and my people say I'm going to live. If me and my people say we're going to live, I don't care what that doctor say. What that doctor say got to change because I'm around some believing folks and all things are possible to him that believes. So whatever I believe is going to happen. Did you hear what I said? I said, whatever I believe is going to happen. He said, and there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Now, Abraham is the one with the blessing. So somebody shout, Abraham is blessed. But watch this. What happened when Abraham got into a famine? The Bible says he left the place where he was to go to another place. Because he says, ain't nothing happening here, so I got to leave. Still have the blessing. But watch this. It says it was the same kind that was in the days of Abraham, but it says, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, listen, go not down into Egypt. In other words, that's where his dad went. When the famine happened in the days of Abraham, Abraham left to go to Egypt because Egypt, there was plenty there. Now that Isaac is going through a famine in his generation, God appears to him and says, don't go where your daddy went. Because the same blessing that's on your daddy is on you. He says, don't go down into Egypt. He says, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Verse 3. Sojourn in what? Come on, y'all. Sojourn or hang out in this land. And I will be with you and will bless you. And for unto you and unto your seed, I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto your father. In other words, when Abraham was experiencing famine, he left to go to another place of plenty. And he experienced plenty. But God says, I want to do something different than you. He says, I want you to stay right where you at, where the famine is, because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to show you I am everything I told you that I am. Because if you go to a place of plenty, you don't know it was me that did it. You're in a place of plenty. He says, I need you to go and stay in this particular place because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you in that place. The Bible doesn't say that God blesses us according to the riches that's around us. He says he's going to bless according to the riches that's in glory by Christ Jesus. So then watch this. Verse number 4, and I will make your seed. Everybody say my seed, my seed, my seed. Now if you look in the book of Galatians, every time God was talking to Abraham or Isaac about their seed, he wasn't talking about their natural kids. Now, that's what we want to think sometimes, but it wasn't talking about his natural seed. Because every time God said his seed, the book of Galatians says he wasn't talking about seeds as of many. He says he was talking about seed, which is one, which is Christ. So every time God was talking to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob about their seed, he was really talking about Jesus, not their kids. But sometimes God got to get something through you for who's coming. Sometimes God got to do something in you for your grandchildren that you may not even know yet. God has to establish something in you so that you, so that before you go, even though you may not meet the people that's in the future that will be impacted by what you do, in their generation, they will stand and say, ooh, I sure thank God for Tim. Never met me a day in their life, but they're going to thank God for me because of what I did in this generation. Sometimes all we think about is what's going on right now and what we got to do right now, what we got to build right now. No, sometimes you got to do something right now. And I ministered this before, but sometimes you will not be appreciated in this generation for something that's for another generation. Which means I cannot stop doing what I'm doing because I'm not being acknowledged or appreciated by the folks I think is supposed to appreciate it. What God is doing in you may have something to do with a whole nother generation that you'll never see. He says, and I will make your seed to multiply. In other words, whatever gets in your hand, whatever gets in your hand, whatever gets in your mouth as seed, whatever gets in your hand as seed, God says, I'm going to multiply it as the stars of heaven. Now remember, he told him to stay where he was, but where he was wasn't nothing happening. There was other folks sowing there and wasn't nothing happening. Nothing was growing. Nothing was being produced. But let's go to the next verse. Verse number 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Verse 6, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Now, I want to bring your attention to verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, now he's saying, I want you to do all of this, and I'm going to do all this in you. And even though your father left and went to Egypt, I'm telling you to stay, but I'm telling you to stay because of the blessing, but I'm only going to do in your life what I'm doing because of what I had with your father. But I want to do it different in your life. But it's the same blessing. Everybody say same blessing. Same blessing. He says, because Abraham obeyed my voice Abraham kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's why I'm doing in your life what I'm doing, Isaac, because somebody that was before you obeyed me. Are y'all getting this? So that means that somebody in your spiritual lineage obeyed God. Some of y'all may know them, some of y'all may not know them, but somebody in your lineage obeyed God. And you are here today because they obeyed his voice, they kept God's charge, they kept his commandments, they kept his statutes and his laws, and now God's saying that I may have had to skip a few generations. But you have been born for such a time as this. And the blessing that I have on your life, it may skip a few more generations. But everybody in your line is still gonna benefit from it. But it may be for a generation that you don't see yet. Somebody put your hands on yourself and say, I am blessed. Some of y'all blessing may come from your natural spiritual line. And some of y'all blessing may come from your spiritual family line. But whatever the case is, I am blessed. And what God gonna do in my life is because somebody before me obeyed God. Kept their word with God. Kept a covenant with God. Obeyed God to the best of their ability. Because ain't nobody perfect now. Abraham himself wasn't perfect. And what Abraham did in his generation, Isaac did the same thing. There's a few verses in between there. The Bible says that when some of y'all know the story, when Abraham went to the land where he was, the Bible says that I believe that it was a king or a pharaoh. Abraham told his wife, he said, listen, say you my sister. He said, because you fine, you understand, and folks going to kill me because of you, because you fine, and everybody going to want you. So just say you my sister so don't nobody take you. Well, when they got down there, the Bible says that the Pharaoh ended up taking her. And then when the Pharaoh took her, God came to Pharaoh that night and said, listen, if you touch this woman, I'm going to kill everything up in here. I'm going to kill everything up in here. Touch her if you want to. And the Bible says, man got up the next morning, went out to Abraham, said, man, why'd you do this? Take this woman and y'all get up out of here. As a matter of fact, here's some gold, here's some silver. Take all of it. Y'all just get up out of here. God ain't going to get me because of y'all. And the Bible says that when Isaac went to this, the same thing happened to him. And he told his wife, say you my sister, because you fine. And as soon as they see you, they're going to want to kill me because of you. And the same thing happened. The man took her and he said, now wait a minute, something going on here. God said, touch it if you want to, I'm going to kill everything up in here. And the Bible says he went out to Isaac and was like, listen, I don't know why you lied to me, man, but you take your wife and take all your stuff and y'all get up on out of here now. And the Bible says, but he dwelt where God told him to. He didn't leave a famine place. And I want to encourage y'all, don't leave your famine place. God's about to show up where it seems like nothing can happen. Are you listening to this? Go to the next verse. Watch this. Then what did Isaac do?
Sold.
Now Isaac has the blessing. Isaac's hands are blessed. But he's in a place that don't produce nothing. I told you, if you understand who you are and what your seed can do, it can change the ground it's sold in. Isaac sold in that land. Everybody say that land, that land, that land. And he received from that land the same year, what? A hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Which means that the ground did not determine what happened in his life. God told him, don't leave where you're at. God says, I want to do something in your life because I want to show you something. And I want to show everybody else in your life what I can do in the life of somebody that just simply believes me. But the Bible says he sold in that land, which means not only am I blessed, not only are my hands blessed, but my seed is blessed. And when a blessed person comes in contact with blessed seed, it changes everything. Now, although he carried the blessing, And although the blessing was on him and the blessing was on his hands and his hands were anointed, if he would have never sold in that land, the land would have stayed the same. Your seed and the blessing that's on you will change everything. But it has to be sown. If you got that person that needs love sown in their life, but they hateful and they mean, they always have an attitude, they walk by you on purpose every single week, and you really just be trying to be nice, and they always have an attitude when they finally do talk, your Bible says love never fails. I said your Bible says love. I said your Bible says love, which means if I love somebody right, it will always get the desired effect or the desired manifestation if I love right. It didn't say they're going to respond the first time. He just, listen, I think I talked about this week. The Bible says the love of God is manifested towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which means that Christ didn't die when we were saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Christ died for us when our backs was towards him. Christ, but he knew that if he just loved us right, when we understood that love, we would turn towards him and say, thank you, Jesus. Because whatever I don't care what kind of ground it is, if I sow it and I'm blessed and my hands are blessed and my seed, whatever I sow into anybody, it's going to produce. I said whatever I sow into anybody, if I believe it, it's going to produce. I don't care what your ground is like. Like if you're connected to this house, whatever is spoken these next 3 weeks will come to pass in your life. I said it will come to pass in your life. And this, listen, y'all, these next 3 weeks will be the beginning of what God gonna do the rest of this year in your life. It's the foundation of what God gonna do in your life the rest of this week. Now, there's gonna be plenty of things that Pastor Al and Pastor Noel gonna declare in your life and speak into your life, but I'm telling you, this blessing is the foundation for it. Amen. And you knowing that there's something on your hands. Listen, if you working anywhere in this church, when you get in a department, things change. I ain't saying it changed for the worse. I'm saying it changed for the better. Say amen to that. Everybody like, yeah, so do change. When, you know, no, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about it changed for the better. I hear from God, therefore God speaks to me on what I should do, what I should not do. God speaks to me. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Which means the Holy Ghost talks to me about what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, so that way I make sure I'm putting blessed hands on the things God wants me to, and I'm not putting a blessing on something God's already cursed. I'm trying to get y'all to understand that because the blessing is on you, you got to be careful what you touch. Because you may be blessing something that's been sent by the enemy to kill you. You got to be careful what you put your hands on and what you declare the blessing over. Because watch this. Even when Jacob stole the blessing from his brother Esau, once it was done, Abe said, listen, no, Isaac said this. He said, listen, I cannot reverse it because I've already said the blessing. So you can't bless somebody and then because they mad at you, you be like, you know what, I take all that back. You can't take it back. Yeah, ain't no take back. It's on them. It's there. You've released the blessing. Now, what would it be if somebody was sent by the enemy to take you out, but then you put the blessing on them? Come on, put somebody and say, be careful what you put your hands on. Now, hear this.
Be careful what you put your hands on.
the Lord had to begin to show me something. And what he began to show me, he began to show me that because of what he's called me to do, because of the assignment I have on my life, it's going to take money. Listen to it. I don't necessarily want money, but what I'm called to do requires it. I just need enough to just pay my bills and just, you know, do what I need to do and go, you know, go get some good chicken every now and then. You understand? That's all I need. Yeah, some good chicken. Now, yes, it is. Now, listen. God, now, put somebody again and say, pay attention to this. God did not call for everybody that's a believer to be a millionaire. That devil is a lie. Now, everybody, you know, some of y'all got a little upset right there. Listen, God ain't promised every believer they're going to be a millionaire. God said that whatever your assignment is, you're going to have more than enough to fulfill it and do it. And if the source is God and you are the water hose to get the water to whatever it needs to go, God gonna make sure you're taken care of in the process. But watch this. You don't need a million unless your assignment requires it. Because some of us ain't doing what he wants us to do with the money we got, so why would he give you a million? Because we always say this, whatever you are, you're going to become a bigger that when God gives you more. I said, whatever you are, you're going to become a bigger that when God gives you more. So if you a little thief, you're going to be a big thief. Come on, Pastor, you're going to be a big thief. But if you are already distributing when you don't really have yourself, and you try to be a blessing to the people that you possibly can, even if you don't even have yourself, then God says, that's somebody I can trust, because when I speak to them to do something, I know that they're going to do it. Now watch this, y'all, because I really need you to see this, because a lot of us, and I say a lot of us because it includes me too, have been experiencing attacks in the area of our finances for a long time. And it seemed like I got the right things going on and doing the right stuff, but it seemed like, because listen to this, money is a way of warfare. And I need you to understand, when it comes to your prosperity, there is spiritual warfare happening over it. This ain't about whether or not you have money. This has to do with that. If you get it, what God going to be able to do? So there's an attack against it, not because you can't get the car you want or the house you want. Ain't got nothing to do with that. It's because you will then become a person who engages in warfare, not just by what you pray, but by your ability to buy and sell. Because listen, and again, I'm a praying man. You gotta be a person of prayer if you're gonna hear from God. That's the only way to hear from God is if you pray. Somebody say amen to that. But then after you pray, if God give you instructions and you ain't got nothing, what you gonna do? The warfare is not in my prayer to God. The warfare is once I leave God's presence and gotta go do something. That's the warfare. And listen, God is positioning us. Did you hear what I just said? I said God is positioning us to do warfare on behalf of the kingdom of God on this earth. Now watch, I'm going to say it again. Money is a form of spiritual warfare. Somebody say, my money enables me to fight spiritually. When you're blessed by God, you're able to be used by God, not only to change you and your family's life, but your church and others that God speaks to you about. Now, Everybody may not have been have experienced this or have or may still be experiencing this. But listen, sometimes you can even get to the place where you go into a depression about money because you don't got it. You are not able to sufficiently take care of your household, your children, your spouse, and just do the things that you just need to do. Is it just me, or has anybody else experienced that? Okay, I'm talking right. Okay. Because watch this. If you begin to succumb to that, that depression and those feelings of, you know, never having enough will move you, if you're not careful, like I said, into a place where you begin to do things that compromise your relationship with God, even though you're now getting the money. Because I've said this before, and I'll keep saying this. The Holy Ghost in me is going to bring a lot of these false prophets down that's stealing from people and stealing money just for their own life. These are false prophets. These are prophets that were never called. There's a difference between a false prophet and a prophet who prophesies falsely. A false prophet is someone that God never called a prophet. That's the one that Jesus says, I was saying that day, I never knew you. He was talking about false prophets. He is not talking about sinners. He's talking about false prophets, those that he never called, those he never anointed, those he never set in the church. But he said those false prophets will be able to say, did not we do many things in your name? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do this? And Jesus' response was simply, I never knew you. Wow. Talking to false prophets. Those that just come on and say a whole bunch of stuff just to get people to give. And what they do the majority of the time is say, you know, God is showing me that everybody on here going to be a millionaire. All you got to do is sow this seed. The devil is a lie. And if you think just by sowing one seed, God can make you a millionaire, there's something wrong with you anyway. You really think you're going to bypass living in the kingdom and doing what God tells you to do and prayer and obeying God and obeying his commandments and everything else, and you're just going to give a little something to somebody you really don't know, and all of a sudden God just going to do all this stuff? That is not how it works. And then also, we got to make sure as being connected to a particular house or a particular grace or a particular church that we're not giving the other folks stuff, but God can't speak to us in our own house to give nothing. Say amen to that. You spreading seed all over the place. You on Facebook everywhere. You sending seed to this one and that one, and your church can't get you to do nothing here. Which is why the grace that's on the house can't come on you yet. Say amen to that.
That's right.
Now, there is like a stress. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. There's like a stress or a depression that has been dispatched from the kingdom of darkness to the people of God concerning what they have and what they don't have. I said a stress and a depression due to money problems. Do you not know money problems is the reason why a whole lot of folks get divorced? Ain't because they can't get along with each other, but money make it a little stressful around here. You understand? We can't pay these bills. I got to let this stress out somewhere. You here, you going to get it.
Amen.
Listen to this, y'all. There's also a spirit of heaviness that have had some of you bound in chains, and the fear of lack and the fear of not enough has caught. Listen, y'all, it has caused you to kind of get into some other things and into some other areas just to make ends meet. But if you hear me today and understand this blessing that's on you, and the blessing that's in your hands, we about to show the devil that we don't got to go do nothing to compromise our relationship with God to get what God has for us. I don't got to get into some money scheme in order for God to do something in my life. Come on, listen to me. I ain't got to go sell a little something on the side. Go and put somebody and say, he talking to the folks in front of us. Go ahead, tell them. He talking to them other people. Listen, I ain't got to sell a little, and I don't know what that little something is, but you do. Just a little something. Because what it does, it puts you in a position to say, well, listen, I got to have this money. I got these bills coming up. I will not be homeless. My kids will have something to eat. And if there's no way of it seeming that it's going to get, sometimes we just go into overdrive and sometimes go to the BC, what's BC, before Christ, and say, well, I know how to get money. Say amen to that. I know how to get money. I know some folks I can call right now and get some money. Some of you are ladies, you know the right guy to call right now. Some of y'all brothers, you know the right female to call right now. Yeah, we can call them right now. We got what they call plugs. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. That you can call right now and get a little work. You understand? I'm talking about what the church deals with. I ain't talking about the people that ain't saved. I'm talking about church folks. Things that we say that we've been delivered from, but when money get tight, we say, Lord, okay, I know you understand because you know what's going on. God, my kids got to eat. God, my kids got to have a place to stay. I'm just going to do this one time. I'm going to hit this one little lick. Just this one. And then everything go. Y'all better say amen, or I'm going to ask God to give me some word for y'all. Start prophesying up here if y'all don't say amen to me. I'm talking about the things that we do. And we do it. And the thing ain't whether about you do it, there's no condemnation. So I ain't talking about if you did it. I'm talking about recognizing what's on you so you never have to do it again. Those of y'all that'll be real with me, just gonna look at somebody on the low and say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. Go ahead, tell him, I know what he's talking about. Yeah, I know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I sure do. Just made a call, you understand? Uh-huh. But God, I'll never have to be in that position again. Never. I'll never have to call somebody else before I call God again. I'll never have to get something from somebody else and not get it from God again. My God shall supply how much?
All.
Come on, church. My God shall supply all of my need. If he supply all, that means I shouldn't have to get it from nobody else. I let God speak to people. I don't have to go talk to nobody. God talks to people for me, because the Bible says that God will give it back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall. Yeah. That means somebody somewhere got my stuff.
Right.
Somebody somewhere. But I don't got to go to them. I keep going to God. And God going to talk to whoever he got to talk to, because that blessing going to come through somebody.
Yeah.
That way I don't owe nobody nothing but to love them. Stay away from the plug, Pastor. Come on. Stand to your feet real quick. We got to deal with some stuff spiritually. Lift your hands. I declare restoration. I declare restoration and recovery and a season of what belongs to you coming to you in the name of Jesus. I said, I declare a season of restoration in your life. Watch this, y'all. It means this. It means that wherever God says you are supposed to be at this time in your life, you're about to be. Some of you know you are way behind right now. And some of you know I'm supposed to be in this kind of place right here. Well, I declare restoration in your life, that you end up coming to the place you're supposed to be. And I declare in the next 90 days. I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know God says that you're in a season of restoration in your life. Come on, receive this. I said, I didn't say you're going to get $1 million. I said God going to bring you to the place you're supposed to be. There's some things that your hands is on right now. There's some things you're involved with right now. The Holy Ghost is going to give you divine strategy. Tell you what to do and who to do it with. Tell you what call to make. Tell you what email to send. Tell you the right places to go at the right time. And you will meet with your divine destiny. You will not be late. You will be on time. And God in one moment will bring you to the place you're supposed to be through your obedience. Somebody shout restoration. Keep them hands lifted. Listen, some of you, what you're dealing with is generational. Your parents was broke. Your parents didn't operate or understand or function in the blessing. So it made you begin to operate and deal with things and deal with money the same way that they did, because that's all you knew. So there was something generational. Before that generational curse, I declare to you today a generational blessing. And the blessing that you operate in, and the blessing that you flow in, and the blessing that you walk in will be one that you remain in the rest of your days, and you will pass that down to future generations. This is how we deal with money. This is how we think about it. This is how we honor God with it. We do not let fear tell us what to do and what not to do. We do not allow lack to tell us what to do and what not to do. We obey God. I said, we obey God. Come on, stir yourself up in this thing. We obey God. We're not moved by what we don't have. We're not moved by what we think we're not going to have. We obey God. And God comes through for us. Keep them hands up. Listen, while your hands are up, because there's some warfare I have to do on your behalf this morning. There was a time in my life after a particular relationship. Things begin to happen in my life that I could not explain. Things begin to happen in my life that I had no explanation for. Even when I rebuked the devil, he stayed. And then God connected me with someone, another minister of the gospel. And as soon as they met me, not after weeks of talking to me, as soon as they met me, they said, the Lord is showing me right now that somebody has your name in a jar. And they said, your name is in a jar because they know the favor and the blessing of God on you. And they're using witchcraft against you to keep what God has from you. And watch this, because I was ignorant, it was happening. Your Bible says, do not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. Because if you're ignorant, you don't know how to fight. And more people that are operating in witchcraft than it is in the blessing. So you got to be able to identify the witch in your life. that's been keeping this thing on you and your family. You know what that you're experiencing ain't God. You know what you're experiencing is not what God has for you and your family. An enemy has done this. There is a spirit behind this. And when I was able to find out, because the Lord had to show me the same thing. And when he showed me the same thing, listen, this is what your Bible says too. The Bible says when the thief is found, that joker got to return sevenfold of what they stole. I didn't identify the person, I identified the thief. Are y'all listening to this? We try to make everything about people and we miss out on the thief. This ain't about a person. God, the devil used a person to do it, but it's still the devil. I speak to every witch in your life. I speak to every witchcraft that is over your life, over your finances, over your children, over your household, over your ability to produce. And I break it in the name of Jesus. I said I break it in the name of Jesus. I said I break it in the name of Jesus. The power of God comes against every witch. The power of God, the name of Jesus, comes against every witch, every evil work in your life. And I release the blessing in the name of Jesus. I said I release the blessing in the name of Jesus. I cut down everything that was built in your life that's not like God. I cut down and I destroy every evil work in your life. I cut down every evil word that was declared over your life, whether in your presence or outside of your presence. I declare the blessing has been released and it cannot be reversed. Come on, people of God, now pray in the Holy Ghost if you're filled with them. Come on, lift up your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. There's warfare happening right now over your blessing. There's warfare happening right now over your future, over your destiny. There's warfare happening right now over future generations that's connected to you. Come on, whether you're in the house or whether you're watching by Facebook or YouTube, I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost now. Today is the last day of that witch operation in your life. Today is the last day of those things being brought in your life. Today is the last day of the enemy stealing from your life, destroying in your life, killing in your life. We declare the life of God in your life in the name of Jesus.
In a moment in time,
the Zoe life of God, the unstoppable life of God in your life. What God is doing in your life cannot be stopped. Will not be stopped. God, we thank you for people that believe you no matter what. We believe you no matter what. We don't care what the enemy is doing. We still believe God. God, if you tell us to sow in a time of famine, we believe God. And we will receive in the same year 100-fold of whatever you tell us to do. Our seed is blessed, our hands are blessed, and we bless any ground that we come in contact with. Now, God, we declare in the name of Jesus, we speak to everything in our life and we tell it to yield in the name of Jesus. We speak to everything in our life and we command it to produce in the name of Jesus.
Yahweh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Come on, go to war over your blessing. Fight in the name of Jesus over your blessing. You are blessed. But there will be a fight of faith. You are blessed. But you will have to war in the spirit for this. The end result is that you win. But you got to fight if you're going to win.